We're in Sefer Mitzvos Rishon. We're in Perek Daled. We're speaking of the three motivating factors that enable a person to serve Hashem. We spoke about the first one of Shalmei Hadas. We're still in the middle of the second one of Kavod. What we spoke about yesterday is if we're being very honest with ourselves, then we could identify that what is a motivating factor for us is how other people notice us and how other people see us. And even though we don't like to think of that as our motivating factor, it still does have an effect. And if it would bother us, if there were, we wouldn't get the honor or the respect or the acknowledgement that we would hope we would deserve, then can you imagine how much more so in the world where it's not fake, but it's authentic and it's real? Maybe now a person doesn't yet sense it, that isn't bothered by it. But in that world, when you get to the real world, and you're talking on an authentic level, then there it's going to bother you tremendously. So now that you see that these people are saying, take it easy, relax, don't take religion so seriously, you can be calm. They are saying that right now, but that's not their guiding force amongst everything, how they guide everything in their lives. Rather, it's the Yetzer Hara which is blinding them temporarily. It's not something which is coming from a true inner place. It's coming from a place of being lazy and not looking to grow. It's coming from a place where they're looking to excuse themselves. And that's a major battle that we have. I think we've mentioned this before, but the Chazon Ish says in his book, Eimanu B'Bitachon, that there aren't many different midot. You don't have to work on each midah separately as if it's a world in and of its own. Rather, all of the midot that you would work on all come down to one factor. Either you are taking responsibility for yourself, you see the world as a world where you have to take responsibility and be an active player, or you say it's all nature, it's just that's how I'm designed, that's how I'm planned, and you just release everything. And all the midot fall under that. If a person is lazy, oh, that's just how I am. If a person gets angry, how can I go against my nature? Like, this is upsetting to me, and this is what I feel. And if I have desire, it's what I feel is I want to do right now. Every trait, every negative trait comes under that category of either having self-control and seeing that you're the bala bait, you determine your future, or you release that. So if a person works on that, then every other midah that he will still need to work on, but he'll have the power to be able to work on. Because he recognizes I'm in control here. And if he doesn't have that knowledge, then every time he says he wants to work on something, he'll say, yeah, but for me it's really hard. And then you'll say, okay, so you'll do it. He says, yeah, I'll try. So you'll do it. He says, yeah, but I'm quite bad at this. And he just doesn't have the belief that he can. Because in his inner world, he's saying, I've released control of this area. So it makes sense what you're saying, and I would like to do it, but I'm not choosing to take control over here. So over here as well, this person in this world is saying that how hard Torah is for him and why he doesn't want to invest in it. It's a pitui kozev shmefateh otam v'zeh lo devar amiti. If a person would think honestly, and obviously you need to be doing a cheshbon nefesh to think honestly, if a person would be honest and look at his inner world and identify, where's that coming from within me? Is it coming from a healthy place or an unhealthy place? Just about the idea of coming from a healthy place or unhealthy place. I once had an interesting conversation with someone who was learning here. We were talking about why you do what you do. And he said to me, you know, Rebbe, I noticed something interesting, that I like davening early, but it doesn't come from a good place. I said, that's interesting. Tell me about that. So he said, it's not that I'm looking forward to davening and I want to daven at the first opportunity and that's why I daven early, but it's actually quite the opposite. I don't really enjoy davening. It seems like a burden to me. And the reason why I wake up early is to say, like, I've finished with it and now I have my day ahead of me. And that's where it's coming from within me. So sometimes you can see a person has a good action, but it's not so much about the action. It's about what's the motivating factor within you that's causing the action. So this is a motivating factor which caused him to be more zariz, to be more invested in the mitzvah, but it was coming from a place of waiting to get rid of it, which is very interesting. So over here as well, we're saying, if a person would be honest, then he would identify his inner world, his inner workings, where it's all coming from. And he would notice the truth of the matter in him, where it's coming from. But a person is not looking for his inner workings, he can continue wanting to get rid of mitzvot, even if he's doing them more swiftly, but in order to get them done with. And they continue willingly, and he's being harsh here a little bit, willingly, and they might say, it's not willingly, that's just how I am. But We are a Baal Bechira. Whether you choose to be a Baal Bechira or you don't choose to be a Baal Bechira, you are a Baal Bechira. Yeah, you can choose to deny the fact that you have free will, if you wish to. But you still are a Baal Bechira. So he says, even these people who are saying, that's just how I am, what can I do? It's holchim v'shogim l'ritzonam. It's their choice. It's their choice to ignore the fact that they have the ability to choose. Hinei lo yusar mehem pitzuim. Ad hazman asher lo yail mehem. So for them, they'll be able to fool themselves until the point where it will no longer help them. Ki lo ye od zman. Ki lo ye od biyadam letaken et asher shichatu. That's scary. That's really scary. It's much better to take control of your life earlier on, where you still have a lot more opportunity to build and grow, than to know there's an issue there and say, I'll get around to it at some point, and then by that time it might be. For who ma sha'amar Shlomo HaMelech alav shalom, kol asher timtza yadacha la'asot, bekochacha aseh. I love that phrase. It's one of my catchphrases. I mean, it's Shomer's catchphrase, but it's one of the, you know, when you read things, hu haya omer. You know, in Pirkei Avot it says, hu haya omer. And they say, why does it say hu haya omer? Because it's, that's who he was. He lived his life according to that. I don't remember who it was, and if anyone remembers, you're welcome to shout it out. But one of the Tanaim in Pirkei Avos, it says, Hu haya omer, and it's a pasuk from Mishlei. And like, Hu haya omer, David HaMelech haya omer. He doesn't say anything new. Isn't the point of Pirkei Avos that the Tanaim are adding new insights and giving us of their wisdom? And then suddenly you have a particular Tanu who comes along, Hu haya omer, yes, what do you have to share with me? And he just quotes a pasuk. So what did you add? But if you understand that Hu haya omer isn't that they're saying a chiddush. Hu haya omer was, what guideline, what philosophy, what motto, what motive was his whole life led by? So many times they had to say their own phrase. In fact, all of them except for one, they had to like say exactly how they did it. But there was one Tana who found a posuk that's, oh, this is exactly who I am. Hu haya omer, this posuk, and that was him. Didn't need to say anything new. So this is one of the ones that was Hu haya omer for me. Kol asher timtza yadacha la'asot, bekochacha aseh. You don't have to do everything. But whatever you choose to do, once you started a particular project, put everything into that project. Whatever it is that you find you're able to do, and if we expand it a little further, Hashem will send your way those projects that are for you to do. Obviously, you have to be honest, and you have to check why you're choosing to do them. But when you're being honest, and you're doing a cheshbon nefesh, you understand your inner workings, and a particular project comes your way to work on, a chavrusa comes your way, a relationship with someone comes your way, a limud comes your way, an interaction, whatever it is that comes your way, but something comes your way. So then, kol asher timtza yadacha la'asot, whatever it is that you find your hand has to do, now you're doing it. Do with all your energy, with all your power. So if, just to give an example, if you were planning on doing a certain thing, which was going to be fun for you, but then someone needed help, and you're really the only one who can help them, so you go and help them. So there's two mindsets you can go and help them with. You can go with the mindset of, okay, I'll help you because no one else is around, but if you can find someone else, let me know, because I want to do something else. And then the whole time that you're doing it, it's like, I wish I wouldn't have to do this. I wish I could be involved in something else. And comes along Shlomo HaMelech and says, kol asher timtza yadacha la'asot, whatever it is you find that you have to be doing, that's what you have to be doing. You might think you need to be doing something else, but this is exactly what you have to be doing. And therefore, b'kochacha aseh, do it with all your energy. And if you're a husband, a man, could be a not a man, and it's, you know, before Pesach, and you have to be cleaning for Pesach, and you think, God, wouldn't it serve you better that I would learn now, that I could understand your Torah and attune my mind to your way of thinking? Wouldn't that be better than scrubbing an oven? Like, you know, in the bigger picture of things, I feel that I would be closer to you, God, by doing a higher level of understanding you than sitting here and scrubbing and scrubbing and scrubbing. And sometimes the wife's not available to watch the kid, and you have to watch the kid, and you're like doing like silly basic games with them, or age-appropriate games, but it's their games, their level. And you could be learning Torah now, and you think to yourself, I wish I was learning Torah now. Why do I have to be here? Why am I doing this? But then you say this line again to yourself, and you say, kol asher timtza yadacha la'asot, anything that you find that you need to do, God sent you there. Right now, this is exactly what you need to do. And if you need to do it, then, b'kochacha aseh, enjoy the game. Be with the child. Involved in it. Clean that oven with all your koach. Because if that's what you need to do right now, that's God's will for you at this moment. You think you want to learn Torah, but why do you want to learn Torah? Because it's God's will? Well, God's will is that you scrub an oven. God's will is that you play with a child. So if the real reason why you're doing it is because it's Ratzon Hashem, then do it with all your energy. Because it's not a bidyevet that you're involved in it now. This is the lechatchila, what you need to be doing. Because there's no actions, and there's no calculations, and there's no depth of thought in the next world. Like once you're no longer able to act, then time's up. So whatever Hashem placed you in at this very moment, that's exactly what you need to be doing. Do it with all of your energy. That's the will of Hashem. V'hainu, ki ma she'ein adam oseh, ad she'akoach masur biyado miboro, hu akoach ha-bechiri, ha-masur lo kol yimei chayav, shehu bahem bechiri, u'metzuva la'asot. A person only has a limited amount of time in this world. There are some people who like wouldn't sleep enough. They would say, why aren't you sleeping? He says, I slept when I was a baby alone. Mistoma, when I get to my old age, I'll probably have to sleep a little bit more. These are the years of learning. These are the years of mitzvahs. Who can sleep now? I don't have any time to sleep. There's enough time for that in the next world. Right now, I have to be invested. Whatever you can do, as long as you have energy, you have free choice in. Which God gave over to you your whole life. There'll be a time where you won't have choice anymore. But right now, you still have time. And during that time, on the one hand, you have free choice. But on the hand, you're commanded to do. So do you have free choice? Yes. It's the choice to do the will of Hashem or not to do the will of Hashem. Every choice is that's the choice. To do the will of Hashem or not. Your choice is to follow the will of Hashem or to waste one's life. Hine lo yuchal la'asoto od bekever v'shol. There'll be a point when you'll no longer have the ability to choose. If a person didn't invest so much in his life, he doesn't have a choice anymore. I was just thinking of my father-in-law, Olav Shalom. My father-in-law died a few months ago. And he was a person who mamash lived this. He didn't have a moment where he wasn't actively involved in mitzvahs. He was constantly on the go. And the evening before he died, he'd been to a factory to check it for kashrus. And he was like busy writing up the report, and he didn't get a chance to finish the report, and he went to sleep, and he didn't wake up. He woke up, but he didn't survive. And he was a person who, till the very, very last minute, he was involved in mitzvahs. And when he woke up in the morning, and he felt that he wasn't well, so he woke up my mother-in-law, and he said, I think I need to go to a doctor. And she said, okay, let's get dressed. And he asked for his tzitzis. And she gave him his tzitzis, and he posed his tzitzis, and he made a brocha on tzitzis, and he passed away. And that was so matim for him. Because he was, every moment is a mitzvah. One more mitzvah. Here's a tzitzis. Oh, tzitzis. And then he passed away. Every moment was a mitzvah. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his free choice. And when Hashem took it away, he took it away. But he, in his lifetime, didn't waste a moment. Every moment, every opportunity, every chance, he was there. He was looking for opportunities, going out of his way for opportunities. When Hashem's taken it away, he's taken it away. But as long as you have free choice, don't commit suicide on the time that you have. It's a free choice every moment to do a mitzvah, to learn Torah, to help somebody else. At some point, you won't have the choice anymore. But as long as you have it, if cheshbon ma'asav, and if a person doesn't calculate their actions and their time, how they behave, you won't have time to calculate it later on. If you didn't learn in this world, if you didn't improve yourself in this world, if you didn't develop your understanding in this world, there's a famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that he was once walking very late at night past a tailor's home. And he saw the tailor was working, and it was very, very late at night. And he was interested, because people don't usually work at that time. And he popped his head in, and he said, Rabbi, it's so late. Why are you still working? So the Jew said to him, you know, I don't have so much money for candles. And it's not always easy when they go out to relight them. But as long as the candles are light, I work. And Rabbi Yisrael Salanter heard that. You know, he heard things in a different way to most people. He didn't hear a phrase in a mundane way. Every phrase that he heard, he heard as the word of God speaking to him. That's how he heard things. He heard it as a message from Hashem. Why was I here at this time to hear that phrase? Kol od shehaner dolek. And Chazal say that the ner Hashem nishmat Adam, that the soul of man is considered the light of Hashem. As long as the flame is burning, then you have to work. And he took that phrase, which was meant in one context, but he had different ears. He had Avodat Hashem ears. He heard every phrase as God's word to him, God's message to him. And he said, if the tailor said that as long as the light is a light, then I have to work, then God is saying to me, Rabbi Yisrael, as long as your neshama is burning within you, as long as you have energy, you have to work. And he gained strength from that. And he made that one of his Hu Haya Omers. And he would say that phrase to himself again and again, which was his way. He founded the Muslim movement, which one of the ways, the major ways they did was they would take a phrase which inspired them, whether it was a phrase they heard from a tailor or one from Chazal, and they would say it again and again and again until it became part of their inner thinking, until it became their mindset, until it became a guiding way of their mentality, after how they viewed everything in the world. And he said to himself, as long as the candle is burning, I have to work. As long as the candle is burning, I have to work. Again and again and again. As long as the candle is burning, I have to work. And if there was any ever time in the future where the Yetzer Hara came to him and said to him, you've worked so hard, you've done so much for some people, you can take a break, immediately popped into his head, as long as the candle is burning, I have to work. Because he plugged it in and plugged it in and plugged it in. It was his default way of thinking. And then he wasn't, obviously, if he knew that he needed to rest, he would rest. He was a very big into resting. Right? He was big into health. He was the one who went up and banged on the bima on Yom Kippur when there was typhus and he said, everyone has to eat. Like, he was very, very into health. And he was the one who ate pat akum when he wasn't healthy because doctor said to him he had to have fresh bread every day. So he knew where to go easy on himself in the physical world where there was a need to. But you have to be very knowledgeable of yourself, where you actually need to and where you're just being lazy. Where it's coming from a healthy place or where it's coming from an unhealthy inner place. But you have to have that phrase, you have to have that catchphrase, you have to tune your ear into God's word. As long as the candle is burning, I'm going to work. And that's the end of the second motivator. Motivator number two is having honor. Seeing people around you, and how would they think of what you're doing? It's not for them, it's for me, but I just use other people as a way of telling what I'm going to do, what's important to me. And what's really important to me is to be active, to be productive. And as long as the candle is burning, I'm going to work, because later I'm not going to get that chance to. It's all about free choice, and I have free choice now, I want to use it. The third and final one, He'ara l'chol ha'amon, is the guideline, the motivating factor which is given to the masses, to the majority of people. And this is regarding reward and punishment. Now, I want to be very clear over here. When we speak about reward and punishment, there are two ways of understanding, two aspects of it. There's one aspect of it, which is reward and punishment as far as the next world is concerned. And that I already touched on yesterday, but I'm going to say it again today. That is almost irrelevant as a motivating factor for most people. As I said yesterday, I haven't met someone, I'm still looking for that person, who what causes them not to do averas is the fact that they're scared they're going to get punishment in the next world. And even on the positive, I also haven't met people who what pushes them to do mitzvot is the thought of how rich they're going to be in the next world. I've met non-Jews like that. But I haven't met Jews like that. But that's their motivating factor, right? What caused them. So when he says his schar va'onesh, I don't know if he's talking here about the next world. But schar onesh in this world is the major motivating factor which causes us to act, starting from a very young age to a very old age. Now, you have to define what schar onesh is, because what schar for one person is not schar for another person. But if we define schar as the benefit that I see I'm going to get from doing this, however you want to define benefit, and whatever is benefit for you, and at one age it might be chocolate, at another age it might be a trip and an outing somewhere, another age, it might be your status in the community. There's different things that you'll define as reward. But whatever it is that you happen to choose and see in your world as a benefit, that's the primary motivating factor that exists for everyone, why they do what they do. And on the negative as well. If you feel that you stand to lose out, you're going to be embarrassed, you're going to be upset, you're going to lose out on somewhere, and everyone can define what for them is losing out. Could be different things to different people. For some person, that what they define as losing out, for the other person, they wouldn't care at all. But whatever it is you define as an onesh, as an individual statement, what's your onesh, that's what's going to help you stay back from doing that thing. And sometimes it's really petty. And I take that back, the word petty. That's a harsh word. Sometimes it's something very simple, where all it takes is putting a chart on the wall and having little squares and having little red stickers, and I'm talking about adults here, and you say, like, how many days have I not done something inappropriate, and you put the sticker, and you put the next sticker, and then you're able to get out of something bad. And how did that happen? Because you put a little red sticker on a chart. And what do you get if you put the red sticker on the chart? What did you get? What was the big gain you had from this red sticker? No, it's a gain of like, I see that I'm able to do something. And I see that I have consistency. And it's something tangible in the world. That's also a reward. But it works. It's something which actually works. It's a major thing that works. You do it with the kids at home. You make a star chart. And you don't even have to say there's going to be a prize at the end. If every day you remember to brush your teeth before you go to bed, we'll put a sticker on. If you can go the whole night in your bed and not come over into Abba and Imma's bed, we'll put a sticker. And what they don't even ask what's going to be at the end. You get a sticker. That's it. And there's a sense of reward. I've done something and a sticker was put on a chart. Now, so it seems petty, right? But the fact that there's something tangible that's happening is a major motivating factor for people. So schar and onesh is the main one. How that works, what that is exactly, we'll probably, if there's Rosh Hashanah tomorrow, then we'll continue on Sunday. But so we're in the third motivating factor. It's reward and onesh. We're moving away from the definition of reward and punishment of the next world, because it's difficult for me to see how that's a motivating factor. But everyone thinking to themselves, what to me is called reward and what to me is called punishment, you will find that as for you the most major motivating factor which enables you to do and not do everything it is that you want to accomplish.